Okay.
All right, I'm going to go back on.
Welcome to the Kingdom Mandate. Join us each Saturday as we share empowering and equipping messages that reflect on the Kingdom of God according to His sovereign will for mankind to remain in His covenant order. Get your clarion call and follow us on Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom Empowerment, Inc.
Welcome to everyone to the Kingdom Mandate with Dr. Donna Ganny. And we are here today and we're going to be talking about on the topic, the captive slave, they may recover themselves. In the name of Jesus, of course, we can all do that in the name of our Yahshua HaMashiach. We are capable of being set free and delivered from all things. So we will take a look at various forms of spiritual, mental, soulish, and physical, fleshly forms of enslavement of the world, the way captivity takes place, and open gates that are used to beguile us. So we will be learning from the Holy Bible tonight. We'll be going into Scripture. So I hope you have your pens and your pencils ready to go. We will all be able to overcome any form of enslavement, any form of bondage, any form of captivity, because we have an almighty Abba Father that is capable of delivering us. Before we begin, we will open up with prayer. And I want to ask, I will go ahead and pray and open up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night and all that you are going to share with us. I relieve myself before you and I ask that you take full control. I release you to impart me with the unction of the Holy Ghost and the utterance of your Holy Ghost at this time, that I will not speak of my own will and of all my own way and all of all the things that are magnified in my thoughts. I ask that you overtake them, that you overcome them, and you have done, as you have done so by the blood of the Lamb. And Father, we ask, O Lord, that if there be any that come in and listen at this time and this hour, Father, that you would set any that are captive free from the work of the enemy and the manifestations of his works in this earth world. In the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen. So again, we're going to be talking about setting, how we can be set free from captivity, the captive slave, and how they may recover themselves. The captive slave and how they may recover themselves. There are many forms of types of slavery of this world, and we're going to look at the Bible at some of the actual examples of slavery that was taking place in the Bible from a different forms and different ways. When we look at the definition of a slave according to the Strong's Concordance, number H5650, it is called Ebed. And it is described as, or is interpreted as, being a slave, a servant in bondage, a bondsman. And we want to take a deeper look into this word slave. And based on the Noah Webster Dictionary, I'm going to look at it in the form, at it as in the form of a noun. And I'm looking at number one, and it says, a person who is wholly subject to the will of another, one who has no will of his own, but whose person and services are wholly under the control of another. In the early state of the world, and to this day, among some barbarous nations, prisoners of war and considered and treated as slaves. The slaves of modern times are more generally purchased like horses and oxen. And again, this is Noah Webster's interpretation from the dictionary. And I'm looking at number two, and it says, one who has lost the power of resistance, or one who surrenders himself to any power whatsoever, as a slave to passion, to lust, to ambition. And number three, it says, a mean person, one in the lowest state of life. Number four, it says, a drudge, one who labors like a slave. And so, again, we're going to try to stay with the scriptures as much as possible, because I believe the word of God is infallible, and it is the best source that we can ever have for anything that we want to bring out or express. So I'm going to first go into Genesis chapter 14, verses 12 through 16, and look at it from a physical slave standpoint. Again, I am going to Genesis 14 and 12 through 16. And if those that are listening in, if you can't hear me, please send me a chat and let me know. If you can't hear me, feel free to send a chat and let me know, and I will change myself around a bit so that you will be able to hear me. Okay, so in Genesis 14, I'm reading from verse 12, and it says, and they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. 13, and it said, and there came one that had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, and the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abraham. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, and he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women, and also, and the people. So, although Lot was taken into bondage, he was brought back by Abraham. Now, one would have to wonder what happened that allowed Lot to go into bondage. What kind of lifestyle was he living, when he went into bondage? What did Lot do that allowed him to go into captivity? Well, we know that Lot sat at the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah, and at the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah, he was a gatekeeper. Gatekeepers collect money. Sometimes gatekeepers do the right thing, and sometimes gatekeepers do the wrong thing. But most of all, they are the people that allow the people to enter in, and they take a token in order for this to happen in some cities. Even we know in some cities, in parts of the world, these things still occur. Gatekeepers to get into cities. We have toll gates to get into cities in America. Although they're no longer manned by individuals in most places, they are manned by electronic devices to keep you from having entry unless you pay to get in. So we know that he was a gatekeeper. But then we have to wonder, what was the lifestyle that was in Sodom and Gomorrah that he was keeping himself in the midst of? And why did he want to stay in the midst of that type of atmosphere? So we can't judge it. I'm not going to go off into it any further. But somehow he went into captivity. And we know that it wasn't only him that was in Sodom and Gomorrah that went into captivity, but it was Sodom and Gomorrah. So let us move on to the next example, because I don't want to stay on the topic too long, but we're going into Exodus 1, 8 through 13. Exodus 1 through 13. In Exodus 1, 8 through 13, it says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it comes to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel." So when we look at this part of the history of the Jews, we know that they came into Egypt because of Joseph, and Joseph gave them a place to stay in Goshen area, and most of them stayed in Goshen. The Levites did not go into captivity. They remained in Goshen. But however, the rest of Israel ended up in captivity. Now, when I say that they originally did not go down freely as a mode of work, so the rest of them ended up going down for a mode of work because Israel had exchanged all of their gold primarily for the Egyptian wooden beetle nickels so that they could be able to eat from the famine, during the famine. And so with that means that when they went back to buy their gold back, when Egypt says, "We no longer take wooden beetle nickels, we only take gold," they did not have the gold. So to buy with the wooden beetle nickels, it would be too costly. So they ended up working for them as servants, but then later became slaves because Egypt began to put heavy burdens up on them. They began to work them longer hours to the point that they couldn't think anymore. Because when at the end of the day, what do? They go home, they eat, and they sleep. So they ended up in bondage. They ended up enslaved to Egypt. Pharaoh, who was very wicked, because it wasn't that he just said, oh, let's take them into bondage, but he did this with wisdom. The Bible says, let us deal wisely with them. So they took worldly wisdom and worldly wise devices to bring them into bondage. And that wisdom that they used was to, first of all, put them into heavy burdens, taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. So this brought Egypt as the masters over Israel. And we see a lot of these things happen repeatedly in the world to bring people into physical bondage, and it's still happening to this day. So looking at one other example, looking at the time of Daniel. Daniel was taken into physical bondage, but Daniel recognized that the Babylonians were trying to set him up for spiritual bondage as well. And he did not fall to that, to the prey of that system. He chose not, even though he was there in physical bondage, he chose not to accept spiritual bondage. And when we look at Daniel chapter 1, it says, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord God, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. What was Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, doing that allowed him to go into bondage? Well, we know they started serving other gods. They started doing things that they shouldn't want to do. And the Bible tells us here in this Daniel chapter 1, 2, it said, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. So he had taken on a different little G-O-D God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and the king's seed, and the princes, children in whom was no blemish. Now, he's not talking about something from outer structure, but he's talking about that there's nothing wrong with them. They exhibit themselves in such a way that, you know, that carries that they are from royalty. And it says, but we're well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, of the wine, which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these was of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. And I'm going to stop right there. But I want to point out in verse 8, But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So there's things within that environment, that Babylonian environment, that he knew that would break covenant, and he did not allow himself to be defiled that with the king's portion of the meat, because he knew what they did with the meat. He knew that they were doing things that were dishonorable with the king's meat, that was not favorable to Yah. And he knew that if they were defiling the meat, it wasn't favorable in the eyes of Yah and his laws as well, because he had told them not to eat of certain meats, because he knew what they were doing in those environments that they were walking through that would cause them contamination and break the covenant that he had with them. So we looked at three types of physical slavery, physical bondage, physical captivity. Then we have the slaves to merchants of the world that the Bible makes mention of. In Revelations 18:11 through 13, Revelations 18:11 through 13, the Bible talks about the merchants of the world and how they took certain things into bondage. And it talks about, in verse 11, it says, "And the merchants of the world shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all dyeing wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and of marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves." But now the last part says, "and souls of men." Wow. So the merchants had the capability of doing this with all of their merchandise to enslave people and also to take the souls of men. That's what the Bible says. But it's also mentioned in Ezekiel 27:13 that Javan, Tubal, and Meshech, and they were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in the market. Now, these are the only ones that it speak of, these principalities, I would say, Javan, Tubal, and Meshech. They were thy merchants, and they traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in the market. And I'm going to stop there because that's a deeper lesson too. I don't want to go any deeper off into that. So we also have slaves that become slaves by not going in the faith. And again, we're going to look at it from a scriptural perspective. What does the Bible say about it? And I'm going to Galatians 4:1-3. And the Bible says, now, verse 1, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant," or shall we say slave, "though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So a person that we can look at this and say that a person who is not growing, that they differ nothing to someone who's in captivity or that's still a slave to the elements of the world. And this is why it's critical for us to grow, especially even more in this hour, because we do not want to be a slave, because we remain in a childlike manner, never growing in our faith, never growing in the things that Yahshua has given us and instructed us in to grow. We can also be slaves by covenant agreement. We can make agreements with people, things of this world, and not realize that we are putting ourselves into bondage and captivity to those things. And this is, and it could kind of be like with the merchants, you know, making these agreements to buy things or to do things or to, you know, wear things. Sometimes we can make those type of agreements and go into bondage to them for a period of time. And it could become cyclic if we're not careful and we're not seeking the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding of God to keep us out of it. So in Isaiah 52, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean." So he's warning them. He's telling them, "Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. But thus says the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl and set the Lord in my name continually every day is blasphemed." What are they doing? In this case, they have broken a covenant that has put them into bondage, and they're not getting anything out of it. They're not getting anything out of it, but they're going into bondage. And we have slaves by inheritance. And I'm going into Leviticus 25:46. Leviticus 25:46. And it says, "And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over the brethren of the children of Israel, ye shall not rule one over another with rigor." Okay, so he was spelling out the laws of becoming a slave by inheritance. And since we are in Yahshua HaMashiach, this not should not ever be our portion. Because as we are in him, that curse is broken off of us. We are no longer a slave to sin. We are no longer a slave to captivity. And slavery is a form of captivity and bondage. This is why we must rely on the one that came to set us free from captivity. And that is Yahshua HaMashiach. As it is written in Matthew 4:17, from that time, Yahshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yahshua initiated in his gospel with the kingdom mandate. So the way to avoid captivity and remaining in captivity is to repent. And repentance is not just saying it. Repentance is moving away from that thing that is causing us to sin. So we must take steps to avoid. We must take our own steps to come out of the captivity. We don't want to remain subject to any forces of wickedness. And the first force of wickedness, the way that we allow ourselves to enter, or the forces of wickedness to enter into our gates, is allowing them to come in through what they say, what we see, what we are smelling, what we are tasting, what we are feeling. And that is the first entrance into our gates. Our inner gates are our soul, our flesh, our spirit. And the way that we need to avoid that is to reject that sin, reject what we have seen, reject what we are smelling, reject what we are tasting, reject all of those entry points, reject everything that is coming in that is foul, that is not of our Father. And how do we do that? Because sometimes it's not easy. It is easily said than done. And a lot of people say, well, I can't do that. But somebody that has done it can tell you you can do it, because they have allowed the power of the Holy Ghost to fulfill and take over and lead them and guide them and give, endow them with, empower them, equip them, give them that grace to overcome. So they can easily say, oh, I can, you can overcome this. You can do this through Christ Jesus, who strengthens you, through Yahshua HaMashiach, that will strengthen you. So it will be up to us to take the necessary steps to overcome and to get through the captivity, any form of captivity. We should not be held captive. In this hour, we should not be in any bondage. So the first step again is repentance. We have to repent, because that's the first thing that Yahshua came in preaching. He said, from that, the Bible says, Matthew 4:17, from that time, Yahshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he also said it, repent, for the kingdom of God is nigh. The kingdom of God is nigh. So why would we rebel from that thought? Why would we say, oh, you judge him when somebody say repent? There's no need to do that, because he said it. He said it himself. That was the first, the Bible said, from that time, Yahshua began to preach and to say, repent. Why is that such a negative word to the body of Christ? It should not be. So if Yahshua initiated in his own gospel with a kingdom mandate, repentance is going to be the first step toward our deliverance from captivity, from any form of indulgence, from any form of thought or desire that will not be favorable with us between our covenant relationship with God and ourselves. And by all means, when we say covenant relationship, ourselves have to come
out of the mix, because he is going to be the final rule and the final way. So the Holy Bible also says and talks about in 2 Thessalonians 1:4-9 that we must obey Yahshua to avoid captivity. We must obey. We must obey to avoid captivity. And again, as I said before, it's more easily said than done. But if we exercise our faith, if we put our passion into the things of HaMashiach, we can do it. And we must grow in our faith. We cannot remain in a childlike mind state and expect to be fed all the time, and also taking in things from the world. It says from the governors, from the people, the things of this world. We cannot take those things in to negate what the Word says, what the Father has said. We have to stay in our submission to the Word and be acceptable of what He is saying, to grow and to avoid becoming a slave to the world, to the elements of the world. And that's a whole sermon in itself, the elements of the world. We do not want to be subject to that order, because that's not what He wants for us. He wants us to grow. And we want to be encouraged. We want to encourage ourselves in the Word. And we want to go off into what the Word is actually saying, not what we want it to be, and not how the commentary is saying, or not how someone else is bringing it to us, but how the Word, how it is written in the order that He has set forth. And motivation cannot deliver us. It will not deliver us from anything. It will only become a self-indulgence that we're looking for motivation, looking for motivation, something that feels good, something that tastes good, something that smells good, something that looks good. It will be self-indulgence. It will not satisfy are what we need to get as far as being encouraged in the Word. And the raw Word of Yah is the ultimate power for deliverance. The Word is power. The Word is Ruach. The Word is Spirit. So it will give us the life that we need to be able to sustain ourselves in this hour. And we need to build our relationship with God, and through worship, prayer, fasting, we have to be like David, encouraging ourselves in the Lord, encouraging ourselves in the Lord. When Daniel went into the lion, he did not have someone else there with him. It was him and his God. When Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, in their Babylonian names, when they went into the fire, they didn't have nobody else in there with them but their God. We have to get to a point where we are building our relationship up with Yah so that we can be able to know who He is, to be able to know that when He is communicating with us, to be able to know that when He responds to us, to be able to know that when you're talking to Him, that He is listening. And we need to exercise our faith. We need to exercise our faith. And it's not something where, you know, I'm going to lay down and I'm going to exercise physically, but I'm talking about spiritually. We need to exercise. These are just basic things that we need to go through to overcome captivity, to stay out of captivity, We must understand what captivity is in order to avoid going off into captivity, or in order to avoid being a slave. And the Bible gives us clear examples of how people went into captivity, physically and spiritually. It gives us clear examples. If we would just read the Word of God. Body of Christ, I'm going to open up the floor for anyone, if you have anything that you would like to share, say, anything that prayer requests, any thoughts on the topics that we spoke of today, feel free to do so. If there's anyone, if you have anything you would like to say, any feedback, any prayer requests, feel free to do so now. In that case, I guess we'll be closing out, and I'm going to close out with a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will continue to be with us, that you will guide us, be our divine teacher, and we pray that you'll put that hunger and thirst for us to search you out. We desire to be in covenant with you. We desire to build our relationship with you. We thank you, Father, that you have given us the open door by the blood of Jesus Christ to come to you, to seek your face, and for you to answer us. We thank you for your seek anew, your tzedakah. We thank you, Father, that you have loved us and given us mercy and compassion in areas where we thought we would never be able to come near you. But, Father, you have opened up those doors, and we bless your holy name for the opportunity to be known by you, Father, because without you, we are nothing. But with you, all things are possible. Oh, Father, and we ask, oh, Lord, he who walked up on the water, that you will be with us as we sleep, as we awake, and 24 hours a day, that we will be kept by your power, kept by your might. And we ask, Father, that you continue to empower us and equip us. Give us the mindset of Christ. Help us to know the way. Roho, Roboho Sende, Yahowah, Mande, Yekorobo Son Toboko Oya. We need your guidance. We ask that you would give us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding as we walk on every path, every journey, every environment, every climate, every atmosphere we exist in. We ask, O Lord, that you guide us, be our teacher in it all. And we ask that Abaho Sundoko, O ye, Abba Father, Abaho Sor, Abakosa, Mende, ye, Karamaho Son, Tabo Oshe. Abba Father, Abaho Sor, Toko Oya, Yehovah, Ramaho Sebraho San, Tai, ye, Karamaho Sor, Tabo Oye, Abba, Bese, Te, ye, Karamaho San. Have your way with us, Father, in all things. Oh, Father, ignite the fire in our heart, oh, Father. If any of us have lost the path, lost the way, we ask, oh, Lord, that you ignite our spirit man, oh, Father. Let be a fire on the throne of our hearts, oh, Lord, till we hear you, till we answer, oh, Lord. We ask in all of these things in the mighty name of Joshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen. God bless everyone on Blog Talk Radio, KEIFN, The Kingdom Mandate. Thank you for listening in. May the grace of our Lord and Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, be with you now and forevermore. Amen.